The Clare Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
Could an Irish team of flying doctors increase the chances of more people surviving traumatic injuries? Well, the Minister for Health was told this week that close to 150 lives in the last few years could have been saved if Ireland had a helicopter emergency team. Dr. Lisa Cunningham is a consultant in emergency medicine in the west of Ireland and a pre-hospital physician working in helicopter emergency services in the UK. And Dr. Cunningham joins me now. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Claire. Thanks very much for having me on.
You're more than welcome to the programme. You're in no doubt, are you, that a team like this in Ireland could make a huge difference?
Absolutely. I'm in no doubt because I work it in the UK for over the last 5 or 6 years and I work in the west of Ireland in the emergency department. So I see patients who come in or I hear about the stories, unfortunately, of the patients who don't get to even survive to come to my hospital. So I know that the difference could be made. Now, that 150 patients, by the way, is unexpected survivors over the last few years. We know from international evidence that people can survive when they get a high acuity team, which is a doctor and a critical care paramedic, delivered to them at the scene of a road traffic collision or a fall off a ladder or even a cardiac arrest while somebody's out running in the woods. Their chance of surviving is greater than 20% when they have that team there. Mm-hmm. So that's already known internationally. And if we put it onto our Irish figures, we know there are a huge amount of patients that could be saved with that team.
So with the work that you do in the UK with a helicopter emergency services team, how does it work? Are you on call? Are you all sitting there waiting at a base? Talk me through it.
Yeah. So on our days, we're normally 12-hour days and we also work a 12-hour night shift as well. Our helicopter will fly from 7 in the morning until 2 o'clock in the morning. The reason why we stop at 2 is actually because the evidence would show that we don't have as much need for this between the hours of 2 and 7 because actually the majority of the traumas and emergencies will happen around 7 a.m. to 2 a.m. in the morning. So we go in, we're there for our 12 hours. We could easily get 4 or 5 jobs a day. We could get 1 or 2 jobs a day. However, our services have become really, really busy. And the area that I cover, the job that I'm in now, is probably a population of about 1.2 to 1.5 million people. So 2 different counties. And we are tasked probably about 180 times a month. So we could get 4 jobs a day. So if you extrapolate that out to 5.2 million in Ireland, and I have worked in a service just outside London where that was the population, which is similar to an Irish population. We had 2 helicopters going and we had probably about 8 to 10 jobs a day and probably about 200 calls a month. So you can see that the need is absolutely there in Ireland for it. We need it. We see it. The public, the people who are listening today will know that they have been to funerals, they've been to wakes, they've been to tragedies that have happened in their communities and said, you know, would there have been anything different that could have been done? But the public don't know that we actually do not have this service in Ireland. And I think the public, your listeners, need to know that what you see on the TV with the helicopter shows that we have in the UK, it is certainly not in any way what we have accessible for people in Ireland, and especially road traffic collisions, west of Ireland. Look where those patients are dying.
And the helicopter that you use for this, it's fully equipped so you can carry out a broad range of medical treatments on board that craft. Is that how it works?
Absolutely. Yeah, we carry out everything that can be done in the emergency department, in the surgical department, in theatre and in ICU. So we can give blood transfusions. We put people into medical induced comas on the side of the road. We can actually do an emergency surgery to release air out of somebody's lungs. We can actually open up somebody's chest. We can deliver, we can just do everything that a hospital can do. Now, let me be very specific that the helicopter is the transport to get us there.
Yeah.
The skill set is on that. Mm-hmm. And it's not necessarily that we jump back on the helicopter and go straight back into the hospital again. But the main aim of HEMS is to bring that advanced critical care to the side of the road, to that patient's bedroom that has had a cardiac arrest. We bring all of that there, stabilise the patient. And then actually, you know, the majority of time we actually go by road then to the major trauma centre or wherever it is that we need to go on further. So it's not necessarily that we always have to go back on the helicopter and bring the patient back. The main aim is to get the skill set to the patients.
And the estimate is that this would cost 20 million euro a year to have this service in Ireland. But there's an estimate on the saving side as well, on the other side of this, which is put at 50 million a year when it comes to the increase that you would have in the lives saved as a result.
Yes, and the rehab. So that brief that you're talking about there, we've given that to Stephen Donnelly when he was Minister for Health there. They've declined to meet with us. Jennifer Karen McNeill has that brief since she came in last February and again has declined to meet with us over this. We have all this international evidence to show that if you put this service in place, which in the grand scheme of things of 20 million a year, and I mean a dedicated HEM service, meaning that only needing to get these doctors out to the patients that need them for their emergencies, trauma and medical. We know the knock-on effect of the socioeconomic impact it has for patients. We know that from like Australia, New Zealand. So to put that into the terms for your listeners, if you have a patient that had a road traffic collision in the west of Ireland, it'll have the most common injury that they'll get is a brain injury. So you need to get them with the neuroprotection medicine and interventions at scene to be able to help preserve their brain function. You need to be able to get them to a dedicated neurosurgical centre, which is only Beaumont for us. So you're talking about Belmullet to Beaumont. What's the road distance time for that? About 4 hours at least. But you've already done that neurosurgical intervention at scene to be able to help preserve the brain so that when they get to the neurosurgical centre and they get out the other side to the rehab, etc., that they actually have good quality functions of life. So that's where that socioeconomic part comes into, that we know in the long term the savings. And again, these are normally for trauma, men and young, really good dedicated patients are that will able to contribute to society. So we know that the savings that they can do to get them back into a normal function and also for their families, for also the state, etc.
Yeah, I mean, you can understand very clearly how it would give you a head start. You know, you get that treatment immediately. Clearly, your chances are going to be so much better. I know you said there that the minister has refused to meet you, and I, you know, don't have the opportunity to verify that here and now. But I know the Department of Health is looking at this, aren't they? They're examining the feasibility of the idea.
Yes, the feasibility of the idea that has been in many countries for the last 20 years. And in that report yesterday, there was a physician feasibility study that Simon Harris actually stood up at the Dáil 2 years ago to say that this was going to be commissioned. I'd say I have more information on the Holy Grail, Claire, than what's actually in that study, because and everybody in Ireland would like to know how this feasibility study was actually done, because it stated in it yesterday, we got a briefing document because we have to fill out a survey on it, which is very sparse in data. It says that actually only 15% of patients will need a doctor intervention on board. Now, I live and work and breathe this in the UK. And I'm going, that number is absolutely ridiculous. Where did it come from? And when I look through the data that I have to collect myself from other people, from FOIs, from NAS, that was done over a period of maximum 18 months, where there was a few doctors that jumped on a helicopter, don't know who they are, don't know what their expertise was. And they said that over this period of time, they looked at patients. There was only 62 patients in 18 months that was actually serviced by a doctor on the helicopter. And I have that from FOI, from NAS. So 62 patients in 18 months, they're now going to make this as a feasibility study. That number is way too low.
Yeah, I see what you're saying, but just to explain to people the contention in this feasibility study that you're quoting from is that most people don't need anyone beyond a paramedic to intervene at the stage when they're seen by the emergency services. You completely disagree with that?
Absolutely, completely disagree with it, because we know this from the UK. We know this from Northern Ireland, have a consultant-led intervention or helicopter service with consultants on board. It is the normal standard now in the international community. And we know that because the survivability, like I quoted at the beginning, is 20%. That is 1 in 5 people will survive if they have this dynamic of a team, which is a properly pre-hospital trained doctor and a critical care paramedic put to them at scene. Mm-hmm. 1 in 5 patients will survive. So this 15%, the international community, like I got so many of my friends from the UK yesterday that had messaged me about this because they've seen it. And they're like, where is this figure coming from? Because it really is a beggar's belief. It's eyebrow raising. I can't wait to see the actual full report. This is a public funded report, so it should be coming out soon. And I can't wait to see it.
The National Ambulance Service, what have they said to you about the plan?
I have engaged with the National Ambulance Service. We have a HEMS advocacy group, which is a group that's made up of between doctors, HEMS pilots, critical care paramedics and patient advocacies. We've met with the CEO of the HSC. We've met with the heads of the National Ambulance Service. We've met with ministers for responsibility for road safety, even because this is a huge road safety issue as well. Basically, we've been ignored. We definitely don't have our opinion that's been taken into account. So it's like that we're banging on a brick wall. But you know what, Claire? the public just need to know that this is what's going on. Mm-hmm. Patients' lives can be saved, your loved ones' lives can be saved with this dynamic for a dedicated primary HIMSS team of a doctor that will come to you at scene, just like I do every few weeks over in the UK.
And do you think, and you've mentioned the west of Ireland there a couple of times, that this really is a service that is needed more in rural areas, say not so much in the east coast where access to some of the larger hospitals, they're just easier to get to in many cases, that if you had one helicopter covering those parts of Ireland that need it most, that that might suffice?
Yes, absolutely. One helicopter with the skill set on board of a doctor and critical care paramedic. Now, I know from talking to my paramedic and advanced paramedic colleagues in the west of Ireland, they might go out to a road traffic collision or somebody with a cardiac arrest. They will ring for that helicopter, which is normally meant to be based in Athlone, but actually got removed to Dublin for a period last year. So we didn't get any helicopter call outs really to the west of Ireland. They will ring for that helicopter and they will be told either a few things. One, weather is too bad to fly. Two, they're already out of a job. Or three, do you know what, head on to Mayo University Hospital instead or to Galway, etc. So they're declined it. But that data of missed calls is never captured by National Ambulance Service. So those are missed calls that have opportunities. And what happens then is that they come into our emergency departments. I have colleagues all around the West Coast that will send me kind of like voice messages to say this has happened today. They're always getting morally injured because these patients deserve so much better. They needed that, say, blood transfusion an hour ago when they had their road traffic collision. They needed that intervention of an airway and neuroprotection an hour ago when they had their fall off a ladder. So we can see all that. And by the way, the trauma data that we have in Ireland only starts when you come into the hospital. So anybody who's lost loved ones in the pre-hospital from trauma, we don't know anything about why they've died, what could have been done better. But when your clock starts, when you come into the emergency department, that's when we have that trauma data.
Okay, Lisa, thank you very much for explaining it all to us. That's Dr. Lisa Cunningham there. Our listener, Lorna, agrees with Lisa. There should be no discussion about this service. She says the state-of-the-art emergency care, we should have it. May I remind everyone of the building costs for the Children's Hospital, the most expensive hospital in the world, but we cannot supply this life-saving service for €20 million. Get this up and running with our money, says Laura. No ifs and buts. Voters are fed up with substandard services when they pay some of the highest taxes in the world. The WhatsApp number, if you'd like to get in touch, is 087 1400 106.
The Clare Byrne Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.